Are you a client-facing online entrepreneur who is ready to feel confident in how to run the behind the scenes of your online business? If you're tired of feeling like you're always flying by the seat of your pants and secretly drowning in wearing all of the hats of your business, then you're in the right place. I know you're ready to get organized, clean up your calendar, and fully step into the CEO that you know you're meant to be. Welcome to the Beyond the Systems podcast. I'm your host, Sam Wisnett, a systems strategist for client-facing businesses. I'm on a mission to help you streamline your business so you can save time, boost your profits, and feel confident about your growth. Are you ready to dive into the power of scalable systems? Then let's jump into this week's episode. Hello, and welcome back to the Beyond the Systems podcast. I'm your host, Sam Wisnett, and today we have a special guest. We have Jackie Simic on the podcast. She is a business mentor and EFT tapping practitioner who helps women who are all in scale to 30K months and beyond. So from zero to 30K months and beyond, sustainably and internally regulated. Jackie is a former CPA and she leverages her private equity business acumen with her expert subconscious mindset tools inside her program. And you might be wondering, what does that even mean? How do you combine both of private equity business acumen and subconscious mindset tools? And I'm really excited to have her on the podcast because she does this so well. I've worked with Jackie for about a year now, I think, just in a few of her different programs. And she has really opened up a whole new world to me with healing and also combining strategy and EFT tapping. So I'm really excited to dive into her story and for her to share all of her knowledge with you all. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Jackie.
I'm thrilled to be here. I love watching your growth over the last year as well. So I love that you're leading it today.
I know, right? We're in the opposite seats to say usually I'm on the Zoom and Jackie's teaching and coaching and leading me. So we are definitely in opposite seats today. But Jackie, you're a former CPA. I know you lived in New York City during this time as well. And now you are diving deep into more of the woo-woo kind of stuff, like healing your inner child and EFT tapping. So why don't you start with just giving us a little rundown of how you went from the corporate world to having the business that you do now?
Yeah, my gosh. I'll try to keep it as short and sweet as possible and succinct. But so I'm first generation, which I think if you are first generation, have an immigrant story, your parents moved to the United States for a better life, and you want your kids to have a better life. And you instill all these like work hard, go to school, get the degree and, you know, follow this path. And that's like the success that you'll have. And it's all about money and security. And that makes a lot of sense because, you know, you don't have that full like network and depth of roots. And so I did that. I went to school and I was like, okay, I'm good at accounting. Like it makes sense. It's like 1 + 1 = 2. I always knew the answer. I didn't love subjects that were like poetry and literature. And I had to take those because I went to a school that was kind of one of those general ed schools. So I graduated, ended up getting a job in New York City, worked at one of the big four accounting firms. And it was just like literally gave them most of my 20s. Worked at the one firm for 7 years, was kind of fast tracked through, skipped some levels, you know, was going to board meetings when I was 28 of like giant companies. So it was like fun. But at the same time, I knew like something was missing because I kept taking these breaks. Like every few years, I would be like, oh, like I'd have a reason. I'd be like, oh, let me go take this test, like the GMAT. Oh, my brother's getting married, like whatever. There were reasons. And then like eventually I realized in hindsight there was a lot of like lack of fulfillment and feeling burnt out. And so left there, went to a private equity firm, loved the environment, loved the culture. And then I ended up going on a 3-week trip to Asia. That was a vacation. And on that trip, I felt something. Like I felt my body. I felt my connection to humanity. I felt like my heart like leading in the way that like my head had been leading for 30 years at that point. And I just knew that I wanted more of that. And I knew that like that feeling came in Asia. I was in these remote countries where people didn't have a lot of means and they were so giving. They were so generous with like their heart and their connection to people. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to do 3-week vacations the rest of my life. I'm going to quit. And so a year later, like literally almost a year to the day, I went on a backpacking trip. So I left my whole life. And went on that trip and then came home, like had the time of my life, came home and thought like everything was going to magically fall back together. And it didn't. And my relationship ended. I thought we were like headed in the direction of a serious like marriage commitment. I was looking for a job. It wasn't coming together. So I was like living at my parents' house. No one's going to like give you a lease if you don't have income. So a lot of things like weren't working. And my friend was like, go see this therapist of mine. And I was like, okay, I've been to therapy before. Like it just didn't feel like the thing, but she had a lot of success with this therapist. So I was like, okay, I'll go see her. And in the very first session, I felt like completely understood. And a lot of times I feel like therapists don't let you in on the process and they just kind of like sit there. So I felt like she like made a lot of connections for me. And then she was like, can we do this thing called tapping? And I was like, I literally said to her, like, I don't care what you call it. Just help me feel better. And she had me do tapping there. I thought it was silly. I thought nothing of it. And a few days later, I got another job rejection. And where my mind would normally go in the direction of, well, of course I didn't get this job because I didn't have the parents, I didn't have the upbringing, I didn't have the, you know, societal clout, whatever you want to like blame it on. It wasn't there to blame it on. I was just like, okay, like that wasn't the fit. And for the first time, I felt free. And that's what EFT stands for, emotional freedom technique. And you get free of your own emotions, your own BS, your own patterns. And that's when I was like, what is this stuff? Because I thought nothing of it 3 days ago and I thought it was just silly. But like, I really see how it just helped me deal with something and just smoothly move through it and keep moving. And so I jumped into the like EFT world with like, you know, 2 feet and like was in the certification process pretty quickly. And in the meantime, my old employer called and was like, hey, the guy we hired to replace you quit. Do you want to come back in? So then I ended up staying like another 4 years. And I was like literally like two different people. It was like by day I was corporate finance Jackie. And at night I was like seeing clients as a tapping practitioner. And I was going to like weekend getaways with like hypnosis and all these practitioners and people in like crystals and tie-dye and all of those things. And eventually it started to leak into work. And I don't know if anyone's ever watched Billions. It was a series on Showtime, but there was an office therapist / coach. And so people used to call me that at the office, Wendy Rhodes. And yeah, eventually I just knew that like it was time to go and to pursue this full time and just bet on myself. I tried to ignore like my heart for so long, but the heart just went from whispers to screams. So that's kind of how I ended up leaving. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's such an amazing story, especially just the fact that, you know, you went on this trip just to kind of get away. You realize, yeah, I can't do this world like anymore. Like I cannot follow this path anymore. Quit for a year, went on a whole sabbatical, came back. And it seems like you tried to almost jump back into your old life. Like it was just like, oh, okay, great. That was so fun. Like, let me go back to almost what I know. And life was like, no, sorry, that's not going to work anymore. Like you still have to make some changes. You still have some things that you need to figure out and to go on a completely different path. Did you know about the online business space before you started studying to be an EFT practitioner or anything?
No,
like that?
Really, I didn't, because my mentor was quite seasoned and like she really ran her business. You know, it's not like she didn't use the internet. Of course, she had a website, but she ran her business like largely through referrals and networks and organizations that she worked with. And so I've looked at doing this work as through the lens of the only lens I knew, which was a therapist, like where it would be rate per hour, somebody comes and sees you for an hour. And yeah, and that was like my understanding of how it was going to go. I mean, I knew that social media was a process, like I'm part of it. But my God, if you saw like some of the early days of like what I was posting, like pictures of clouds with like a quote on top of it, like wondering like why nobody was like signing up. And I remember I started investing in some coaching, and I was working closely with Alex Ortner, who's this chief marketing officer of the Tapping Solution, which is, you know, a multi eight-figure business. And there's a huge gap between somebody who's just starting out in an eight-figure business. And so, you know, he was like, let's run ads and let's, you know, I was like, I fell into the bro marketing world of like ClickFunnels and, you know, do a webinar. And I remember this webinar, like I was literally on this webinar, like trying to like convince people about tapping. I feel like tapping's pretty widely known now, but back then it was like showing pictures of different people who use tapping that are famous. And it's just like looking back on it now, I'm like, I had like zero connection to the buyer, like who my ideal client is, how to speak to them, like all the things that I teach now, which I think makes me such a great teacher of it because I've been on the other side of it. But yeah, I just never imagined even a few weeks ago, my best friend came and like to film some B-roll for the background of Reels. And I was saying to her, like, if you told me 10 years ago when I got into tapping and I was getting my tapping certification, that I'd be filming B-roll instead of just tapping with clients, yeah, I would have never saw that day coming.
No, it's so funny how things just change so quickly when we discover this world, because I had to say, well, I did had no idea this world even existed. And even when I first started in, and it was like, I told myself, I'm never going to get on social media. I'm not marketing myself on social media. Oh, turn around. Now I'm showing up on stories every single day. Like that's part of my like daily routine. And yeah, like shooting B-roll for ourselves, I think none of us could have predicted the way social media even turned out in general with all of the videos and trends and everything like that. But I want to dive in more into EFT tapping it for a minute. So EFT, emotional freedom technique, how does that work? So how does tapping actually work? I know for me, I've done tapping and you kind of gave an example of it already where you said, oh, I did a tapping over something, then I got my job rejection. And then, you know, I didn't feel the emotions those days after. I know for me, I tap probably 2 or 3 times a week, always following your tapping. And it really have that emotional freedom. It just makes things so much more neutral, I would say, is the result. But how is it actually working with our bodies and our minds?
Yeah. So I would say that EFT is a cousin to acupuncture. So if you go to an acupuncturist, they're working in traditional Chinese medicine with the meridians and the flow of energy in the body. And every organ system in the body has a emotion that is a sign tied to it, you know, that they study these things. And so when they're putting the needles in your body, they're helping to move the chi around. And you don't need needles. You can use your fingertips. And that's what tapping does. So just through the gentle, literally tapping, like as if you were just like tapping someone on the shoulder to like get by them, that is does the same thing. And so when this was developed, oh my gosh, probably now it's like 50 years ago, it kind of was brought to the world by a couple people at the same time. I think we've seen those types of things where there's a new phenomenon and all of a sudden it pops up, like, you know, in this case, like popped up in Washington State in the US and popped up in the UK at the same time. And the person I study under that lineage was an engineer and he was looking for the fastest way to feel better. And so he studied this and identified a couple of points that are easy to access that are on your head, face, and trunk of your body. And by tapping them and connecting to actually the thing that we don't like, the thing that doesn't feel good, as Louise Hay, who's the founder of Hay House, who publishes so many self-help books out there, I'm sure your audience has like read something that they've published. She used to say, you know, you can't clean the house if you don't see the dirt. And so that really applies to tapping, where like we go in and we look at, what is the limiting belief that I have here? What are the thoughts that I'm thinking about this, the belief systems? And then it's like, okay, what are the emotions that are present here? How does that feel in my body? Like you can think of something and you might feel constriction in your chest or weight in your stomach or some sort of something obstructing your throat. And so we utilize like all of that in the tapping scripts. If you're working like in a kind of personalized way and you want to adjust to like the specific situation that you're going through right now. Otherwise, there's plenty of also like tapping scripts out there or tap along videos out there that are based on different topics. You know, if you want to make more money or you want to get over imposter syndrome or you want to tap before going on a live so that your voice is clear. You know, so there's all different things that I've, you know, created those, and there's ones out there on YouTube too, if you want to look for somebody else's. But yeah, you just apply these words and there's a specific framework to doing it, like where you tap and what you say. And yeah, it just, I don't want to say I don't know how it works. Like I do, like it's working with the amygdala, which is your fight, flight, freeze, fawn response. And so what it's doing is like that thought that you're having that then sets your heart racing and your stomach feeling like you want to puke. If you start tapping and you connect to that thought and connect to those feelings, it will rewire and send a new signal to the amygdala saying, actually, this isn't unsafe. You are okay. And then somehow like that lifts and your like truer self, I'll say, like your real subconscious self can like show up and choose different thoughts, choose different ways of showing up, choose different beliefs. And I'm a huge believer of like what we believe we receive. because what we believe directly impacts the actions that we're willing to take, which then impact what we're going to end up creating and being able to receive. Like, you can have all the amazing like money mindset thoughts in the world, but if you don't actually take action and create the pathways to receive money, it's not going to work. Like, I don't really want to have my money out, like making outsourced to like random checks in my mailbox and like fall from the sky clients and things like that. I want to have a little bit more certainty around things.
Yeah, I mean, amen, preach. Like, I think that we all want a bit more stability as entrepreneurs, because I think stability is a bit hard to come by sometimes unless you have the system set up, you have those strategies in place to really make it happen. I think for me, one of the most surprising things that I realized whenever I started tapping and working with you in general was during a tapping script, you're also talking about the negative feelings. Like, that's part of the script where you're like, oh, I feel, you know, making money makes me feel anxious and I avoid my money. And, you know, all of, and if you can't see me, I'm tapping right now, kind of, but, and you're saying all of these negative things as well as going along with the positive things. And that was also something that I really loved about your work, because you're definitely not, you know, a high vibes only coach. You had an Instagram post pinned to your feed that I looked at the other day, and it was like, please don't confuse my energy work with coaches who want you to calibrate to their level, who are high vibes only, who, you know, want them to opt into your energy work. And I feel like with you, you're really also focused on the healing and you're focused on digging up the not high vibes stuff. How do you see this high vibes only energy work actually end up kind of hurting entrepreneurs' growth? And why do we need to also be facing all of the not high vibes, all of the quote unquote negative things as well?
It's such a good question. The high vibes stuff, like, it works for some people, right? But I also just, this is just me. Like, I find my energy when I'm around those people, like, it's like I can't trust them. I can't connect. Like, there's no one home. Like, I'm like, are the lights on upstairs? Like they're missing this like grounded piece. For different folks.
Grounded piece. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So get that like everything is energy and vibrational. But if you're just going to be doing like affirmations and you're going to be doing like what I see, like, honestly, I have to like call this out as like, I consider myself like more of an OG in the tapping space, like started over 10 years ago. A lot of people who are like learning and bringing the modality out now, like aren't learning maybe from the best sources, or there's like a big disconnect now between like the source that has, and like, the reality is the tapping has been studied in so many studies. So if you're not doing it the way that it's like clinically supposed to be done, you may not get the benefits that are proven that it provides. Like, it helps so much more than talk therapy or behavioral therapy in terms of anxiety and depression and things like that. So a lot of people love to just do like the high vibe, like, oh, let's do affirmational tapping and let's have it all be fun. But like, they're not actually utilizing it in the right way. Like, you have to connect to the things that are bothering you, the things that are in your subconscious, the true beliefs that you have about yourself. It's like, it doesn't work to just be like, I'm a millionaire. And then your subconscious is like, no, you're not. Like, we're broke and we're worried about money, or like, we don't want to look at our bank account, or like, we don't have like any of the patterns or the behaviors of a millionaire. Like, my favorite, like, one of my mentors the other day was saying, she puts out courses that she doesn't teach live. And I was like, well, how do you feel about the people not taking the course, like not finishing the course? And she's like, that's not my problem. If you can't take a course and get yourself to show up to watch a video and you want to be a millionaire, like, there's a big disconnect here, right? So
yeah, that's,
we have to like look at some of the stuff. Like, we can't just like put lipstick, and I'm going to say this is saying, but like lipstick on a pig, or just like, it's funny because I just moved, so I'm like conscious of like house stuff. Like, you know, when you like see a bad flip, like, it's just like, there's no foundation and like, all right, great. Like, the wallpaper is holding for a year before it starts like peeling and the tile starts shifting and there's cracks everywhere because like they didn't structurally do anything with the place. Right. So that, I mean, just a quick couple of metaphors around that. But I think like, yeah, there's a lot of people out there selling like high vibes only, come like play in the 5D realms, and like, it's just missing the base of reality. And at the end of the day, like, we're human beings. Our parents the best that they could, no matter how great your parents were, no matter what your upbringing was, it is impossible for another human being or set of human beings to satisfy the needs of another human being. That's just reality. And so there's always going to be like little gaps and things that have happened. And obviously I work a lot with clients on like healing their trauma and really things that people have gone through. I work with a lot of women of color. There's systemic things that happen to them that really impact their self-identity. So it's, you have to go to these places and shift that stuff. And I truly believe, I call it like, people talk about the layers of the onion. I call it the layers of the artichoke because I think eventually we get to the heart and it's a little prickly on the outside. But I believe like when you use tapping and you take these layers off and you are like, okay, I thought this thing about myself or I believe this about the way that the world worked, and you start to tap them away and the beliefs start to fall, what emerges underneath is your true self. And that to me is the most authentic high vibrational thing you can be. It's not about trying to elevate yourself and reach for something that's out there or try to like fake the way that you feel, but really coming back to your own authenticity. And I think that to me is like the most high vibe thing that you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how you put that in. And even like you said earlier, just tying it back to like, you have to have the actions to back it up. You have to have the behaviors to back it up. And if you are just almost putting on this high vibe energy as, I guess, a blanket over yourself to hide everything else that's going on, then at the core, you're probably not going to be showing up in the ways that you need to be showing up. You're not going to be doing the things that you need to do. And then you're going to be wondering, oh, why is my goals not coming to me? Why is this money not coming to me? Why are these clients not coming to me? When at the end of the day, you're also not showing up in the way you need to show up, even though you're having high vibes only thoughts. And I will say, for my own personal experience, I feel like I'll try to have high vibes only thoughts and then I will have one negative thought and then I'll kind of beat myself up about it. And then I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I just had that thought, you know, high vibes only. And it just becomes this cycle that it's not actually productive at the end of the day. Like you're never really moving forward. You're just kind of staying in the same place and trying to project something else.
I don't find it sustainable. And I think it takes like a lot of energy. And I think it makes a whole side of human expression, quote unquote, wrong. And, you know, there's a way to observe your emotions. There's a way to feel your emotions. There's a way to move emotion through your body. It's like embracing all of who you are versus being like, no, only this is allowed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's such a good way to put it. And I know one thing you talk about a lot as well, and that you have a quiz over now as well, is attachment style to your business. And I think this goes right along with that because attachment style is also the core of who you are. It's like how you were basically raised with your parents and your relationship with them. But I think really, I've only heard of it in the sense of relationships. Like we all know the popular book Attached, and that's mainly talking about, you know, your relationships with your significant other or your friendships or your parents. But you have a different twist on it with attachment style to your business. So can you talk a bit about that and describe how that even connects together and how that is actually really impacting our business on the day to day?
Gosh, I think I was first exposed to this idea, and there was a white paper that was published around it maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And I never read the book Attached myself. So
I haven't read it either personally, but I've seen it.
Yeah. So many people told me to read it. And about a year and a half ago, I had like another tumultuous like relationship thing happen. And I was like, oh my gosh, like something different needs to happen. And I had some really great coaches in the feminine world who had done a lot of work through 12 steps, either through Al-Anon or other things. And they suggested that there was a group within 12 steps that is for love addicts. And yes, it includes people that are addicted to sex and things like that. I wasn't going to those meetings. I was more focused on, why am I picking the wrong partner? And why am I afraid of intimacy at a certain level? And, you know, like exploring these types of things. And so I am really happy that I did a lot of like 12-step work. And then this summer, finally, I read Attached. And I was like, oh my God, everything that we had talked about in program, when we talk about sober behavior, which is like doing what like normal people in dating do versus like, I'm just going to give some examples so the audience like understands. Doing some things like constantly sleeping with someone on the first date or constantly not dating, right? There's like the opposite end of the spectrum, right? And just like shutting down or meeting someone and being like, they need to be my life partner, like after like 2 dates, right? And so those are non-sober thoughts and behaviors. And when I read Attached, I was like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. Like sober equals securely attached. And I could start to see all the other behaviors through the lens of the avoidant and the anxious. And I was like, okay, like, and now I remember this coming up like years ago when I saw it with the attachment style to your business research that was being done. And then I started like looking at my clients and I was like, oh, like this is interesting. Like we just tapped on, you know, this person didn't want to go to a networking event because they were like, I was rejected. A lot of times I work at the root, right? So like she changed schools when she was young and she got like made fun of and judged in front of the class. And after that, like she got the idea that people cannot be trusted. I don't want to be close to people. So she became an avoidant. And then I started to see like all the things that she would avoid in her business. Like she was like, oh, I got all these testimonials 2 months ago and I'm afraid to look at them. Like it's like
spoiler. This is not me, but I am an avoidant in my business and I can relate to this 100%. So
yeah. So I started to see like, oh my gosh, these patterns are like applicable to how you're relating to your business. And I also think like the attachment system, like your attachment system to me is like a response that gets activated when certain, you know, warning signals for what your beliefs are come into play. So like if you're avoidant, like you're not going to be activated in the first 3 dates, but if someone's proposing, like you're probably going to be more activated, right?
We'll see.
And so I started to think about this in business too, where I was like, okay, the more money that you make, the more momentum that kicks up in your business, the more that's like happening, the more people in your world, your attachment system is going to be more likely to be activated because it's like starting to get like chaotic and you're like looking for like the protection pattern. I mean, that's why we do this. It's why avoidants run because they think that they're safer alone. It's why like anxious people like lean in and they're like, I want reassurance. Tell me you love me. Like, you know, tell me you like my work. Like, so I started doing some research this summer and then I was like, you know what? I've seen like enough patterns now in clients and I developed a quiz and then I tested the quiz and everybody was like, oh my God, these results are like spot on. And yeah, I think it's like a really great tool to have that awareness because I think what it does for people is it gives them a lens through which to self-coach and self-guide themselves in their business. And they're like, oh, okay, like I see the behavior. Understand why this is my default go-to, what would feel safe for me to like run away from whatever it is, like not get back to my accountant, not check my money. Yeah, all the things. Stay away from my marketing. Like that's like I'm speaking more to like the avoidant right now. And so once I think people are educated then on identifying the behaviors, they can self-coach or like self-get them out of the pattern to say, okay, I'm doing that thing again. I know what I want for my business. I can choose differently. And so I think it's a really empowering quiz to take. And then I did create, like, if you take the quiz, you'll get a tapping video that will help you with your attachment style. And so for anxious and avoidance, helping them heal that a little bit and come more into a secure relationship. And you definitely can. Like my one client, when we started working together, she was anxious. She was a people pleaser. She really wanted to serve a lot more people. She was undercharging because she didn't want to offend anybody with her prices. She wanted to make sure everything was so accessible to everyone. And she would worry about anyone not being happy with the results of whatever they were working on together. And she really like worked on a lot of that stuff. She was an only child. We worked a lot on like some different memories that happened with her parents and the way they treated her and the impression that she got from some of the things that they said. And now, you know, it's like we've been working together 18 months, but like she's hitting 50K months. She feels super secure. She's raised her prices. She's running multiple programs. She has a lot more boundaries in place. She has her own phone for her business only because she's like, I am not, you know, available all the time. So really like what I see is like, it's not to say that you can't get to these like super high levels within your business in the attachment style that you're in. I think there's ways to modify your business that would help support your attachment response. But if you do the healing work, I think you can move more into secure. And when you're in the zone of secure, it's not to say that you don't have mindset stuff that will come up, but you're in a much better position to lead yourself from a healthy place, to lead your business from a healthy place, to be consistent in your marketing, to be a good mentee of mentorship, like to have that beginner's mindset, to always be learning, to be open, to be a leader of your team. So I think it really impacts the heights that a lot of people want to get to, those upper echelon heights, like in business, and be like industry leaders. And I think that this is a place that people aren't looking, and then like don't understand why they're hitting plateaus, or why like the same patterns keep creeping up. And the way that you run a business to six figures is just impossible to run that same style business, be in those same patterns, be that same person of accessibility or worry, or spend your energy in the same way. You can't do it the same way at six figures if you want to get to seven.
No, absolutely. And I see that a lot as well with my clients who come to me with six-figure businesses that are chaos. And then they're like, yeah, and now I want to scale to 50K months. And I'm like, okay, well, you're spending an hour onboarding one client. So that's just not going to be possible at this, right? You don't have enough hours in a day. But I think what you said was so true. Whenever I learned about attachment style from you in one of your recent programs, Magnetize. And I think just the self-coaching thing was hit the nail on the head, because once I learned about it, things really did start to click for me and make so much more sense about why certain strategies weren't working, why certain systems weren't working. You know, I think there are so many strategies or so much information we can consume online about how to run a business, how to grow a business, but the attachment styles really play into that as well. Because as someone who is more avoidant, I know that if I'm not clear about what I need to be doing with my business or my clients, I will just avoid everything. Like, I just will not want to show up. But because I now kind of have that, you know, quote unquote label, I can separate it from myself and be like, okay, that's just avoidant Sam, you know, being avoidant. So she can be here later, but we still have to show up and we still have to get things done. So can you give us a few tips on, we talked a lot about avoidance, so maybe with some more with anxious as well, on just a few things that you see people do in the more day-to-day stuff, and some little systems or processes that they can set up to help them combat this as they're working on healing their attachment style.
Yeah. So anxious people like to be close to their clients, and they like that feedback that they get. So I think like in terms of like setting up your business, like you might want to have a lot of contact with your clients. And then so in order to scale, I would say like trying to be front and center and available to them in the parts of the process that matter. So like you just said, like client onboarding, like that can be like a beautiful process, can be designed for that without you having to manually go into DocuSign and do all this stuff. It's just like, it's not value additive. Like, it's not actually going to make their experience like any better. And then, you know, whether it's the Zooms or the website design, or if you're creative, whatever you're doing, making sure that like, you know, you're there for that piece of it. I would say like building in a lot of touch points and feedback points like along the way, so that like you know where a client stands and that you can course correct if anything is coming up. I know that like the anxiousness comes up a lot more in fields where the outcomes are very subjective. So creativity, design, consulting, coaching, yeah, things like that, I think tend to activate people a little bit more than somebody that's like, okay, here's your accounting system set up for you.
Yeah. Very straightforward, like tangible result right there.
Yeah. And I think like for an anxious person, it's really important for them to take a look at their marketing and who they're calling into their world, and making sure that they are not like, a lot of times what like somebody who's anxiously attached, and they'll feel a little bit safer with a little bit of, this might be the wrong word, but like superiority of like, okay, well, if I work with this like lower level client or this just beginner client, then I definitely am going to provide value for them because I know more, I have more experience, or whatever the case is, that creates that sort of like pedestaling. But in the end, like, it just makes more of a mess inside their business. So my suggestion is to make sure that you study marketing on how you can call in really like high caliber clients, the clients that meet the deadlines, get you the deliverables that you need, give you the feedback, are part of the process, are dialed in. So I think working with higher caliber clients really helps an anxious person or someone who's anxiously attached to their business. Building in like the feedback points, building in boundaries, I think, is another one.
Not I love being the phone. that you're collecting a separate phone. Like, that's crazy to me, but I get it at the same time.
Yeah. I think like having really great contracts is another thing that's really helpful, because if, especially like if you are working in a project that needs input from the client, then you might want to like add in, okay, if you don't meet this deadline, there's a fee that gets assessed. Like, so everything is just like laid out in the terms. So then when or if the scope creep happens, you can point to the contract and say like, these are the terms we agreed to, instead of being like a person who's just saying yes, people pleasing somebody and being like, of course we can add some extra stuff to it. Or yeah, like letting the deliverable schedule slide, because ultimately then you are impacting like your own income earning abilities. Like if you're still working with a client and there's delay, you can't work with other clients, or you're just going to work longer, you know, which is going to add to things. So yeah, I think another one I've seen with anxious people is it's hard to trust your team.
This I've definitely came worked up with some client. Anxious people. So
yeah, this came up with a client recently where she had like she's a designer of products, and she got a much bigger project, but she doesn't have expertise in web design or online interface and things like that. So she brought in different people onto her team, and she's like, I already feel like I'm starting to get anxious because, you know, is the client going to be happy? I don't know if I could trust these people to do their parts of the project. And so that comes up a lot around, it's hard to trust your team. And it's that old like martyr syndrome of like, only the client will be happy if I do everything, which is just not the case, right? We have to learn to delegate to our team, to trust our team, to empower our team. People who do great work are not going to want to work for micromanagers. So, you know, learning how to empower other people to get the best out of other people, that's going to help support your business more.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I can totally see that with myself as well, as like with the team piece, for example. I know for me, I avoid delegating until it's too late, which is just like the ultimate form of self-sabotage, because then I can't delegate it, then I have to do all the work, and then I'm stuck doing all the work. And then I'm like, well, it's just faster if I do it anyway. And there's just so many stories that we tell ourselves in our head as business owners, especially just on everyday things that I think we don't realize are impacting us as much as they actually are. Because in the long run, if I'm not delegating, or if an anxious person is not trusting their team and they're constantly micromanaging them, that is so much time and energy spent away from the tasks that I need to be doing as a CEO to actually grow my business, the things that only I can do as a CEO, like recording this podcast or making a marketing plan or showing up on social media. And yeah, so thank you for those tips. Those were really helpful. And I challenge everyone to actually take a look at where you're stopping yourself in your business, what you're procrastinating, and of course, take Jackie's quiz and see if it relates to that. Before we go, do you have any systems that you want to share that you use in your business that help you stay consistent and just feel more empowered in your day-to-day work?
Oh my gosh, my systems. Well, you've seen my Gantt chart. I do love the Gantt chart. Yes, I do love the system
of
Gantt
chart.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with a Gantt chart, I mean, there's lots of softwares out there that offer them. I think Notion has some for free, but it's just a project plan and then dates going across the right side of the schedule. And so just being able to see everything mapped out and be like, okay, especially when the inputs to one project then impact when another project can start, and having that like mapped out, and then having that mapped out in a way too where I can see like, oh, this is going to be a really intense week, or I actually need to adjust the schedule because it's just humanly impossible to do all of this week. Yeah. And then what I like to do is on Sundays, I like to take that week's project Gantt chart and I go and calendar it to my Google Calendar. So that's just like helps me chunk out the week and actually like get the stuff done. I always say like my $1 million businesses are created one day at a time, like one task at a time, just like everything else. So I like that. It just keeps me like focused. It keeps me on track. It keeps projects like moving. And then, yeah, I mean, I think just like a little system. I mean, I love systems. I feel like I would love to use them more. And I took the systems course like last year, which was actually for like ADHD minds. And I'm not saying I have like that. It's for like squirrely brains, which I was like, this is so perfect for me. And to be honest, like, I feel like I have to retake that course again to really see how it works. But I loved the concept of like having an offline brain. So like our brains, like especially in today's day and age, like where we're so inundated with different pieces of information, we can't retain stuff the way that we may have in the past. And so it's like, okay, you saw this recipe or you saw this website that you want to go back to, or like the Netflix movie, right? Like, and then when you go sit down and watch Netflix, you're like scrolling for 20 minutes to be like, what should we watch, right? It was kind of having like an offline brain and having a place to like dump those things and then having them like organized into a database. So I do want to get back to doing that. But another just like really basic system, and I know I gave you guys this too, and Magnetize, is just understanding what your like three non-negotiables are every day and making sure that you hit those. To me, like when I took that course about systems, she said this statement and it didn't quite make sense at the time, but it really makes sense to me now, which is that systems is your ability to do something sustainably forever. And
yeah, absolutely.
I was like, what? Why would you want to do that? And then it's like, it does make so much sense, because what they mean by like sustainable is like, okay, if you're rolling up your sleeves and you're working on something like crazy and then you stop doing that for 5 days, like that's not consistent. That's not a system. A system like really lets you do things in a consistent way over a long period of time. And I like just like having the three non-negotiables every day. For me in my business, it's to like, I have to check this box every single day that I'm working, which is to provide exceptional client service, to market, and to sell. So every single day, whether I'm like selling in a DM or I'm sending an email or I'm putting up a post and that's marketing, or putting up a story and that's marketing, or going to a networking event, to me, that's marketing, you know, in Voxers, on client sessions, creating tappings, creating material for my clients, like, those are the check boxes that need to happen for me and my business every single day. So that's sort of my North Star. And that's just a very simple, sustainable, everyday system.
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally agree with that. I feel like with systems, and what I talk about a lot as well, is just making something as easy as possible to do. Because if something is not easy, you can't be consistent at it, especially as a business owner. We're trying to do 100 different things in one day. And on the days, even when we're not trying to do 100 things, even on the days we have, you know, maybe more quote unquote chill days, those days are also the days you don't really want to be putting in a lot of work, because you're like, oh, well, I have been busy for the past week and now I want to chill. So making it as easy as possible for you to still show up and get done what you need to get done. And I think something that a lot of entrepreneurs don't do, that I love that you do this, is once a week just sitting down and looking at your goals and looking at your plan. I have also started doing this in within the past year once I started having more long-term goals in my business, but just reviewing where you're at with projects and then having a planning session with yourself of like, okay, these are the things I'm going to work on each day this week. This is actually when I'm going to work on it, because I feel like that does take time and it does take a little bit of energy, but the structure that you give yourself for the upcoming week makes the week so much easier. It's like a little bit of investment for a lot of ROI in terms of your week and your time for the week ahead.
Yeah. And it works really well for both attachment styles too. Like, I'm not going to say secure, right? But for the anxious and for the avoidant, because with an avoidant, like if it's not organized and there isn't these like micro things that you need to be accountable to, it's so much easier to say, I'm just going to go for a walk. I'm going to go veg out and watch TV. I'm going to pretend this isn't happening, go bury my head in the sand. And, you know, the same thing too with things that need to be like measured. Things that matter need to be measured. And so I think part of that process of assessing where are we in this plan or anything, like where are my metrics? Like who's, you know, I was just speaking to a client this morning. She's like, I had 400 people hit the sales page and a couple of clicks, but no one's bought. Okay, like we should not be looking at those data points now. Like that should have been looked at like a week ago. And so understanding like your data so that you know then how to be nimble and like responsive in a different way. And I think that's why, like, especially with the work that you do, like the systems that you set up, we also need to, they need to be simple. And the data that's coming out of them also needs to be simple. And we need to be part of the process of like that human interaction of like, how do we use IT? How do we use tech systems, all that stuff to also interact with our human and our leadership. And these systems, like, they're amazing and they give you back so much time and they put you in a position to scale and to make money. But you also need to be in your leadership and be like looking at the data, looking at how things are flowing through them, what's happening with them. Like, are they working? How do we tweak them? How do we optimize them?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think using the, I guess, metaphor, I don't even know if this is a metaphor, but you talked about earlier with the artichoke. And when you're building systems, it's also the same as, you know, doing this EFT tapping, doing this inner work and healing yourself and creating a good foundation for you to operate out of, because then you are able to achieve so much more because you're not struggling through the inner chaos of yourself every single time you're going to do something. It's the same with your business. If your business is drowning in all of these, you know, random admin tasks and files, and you have no foundational system set up, it's going to be really hard to do anything extra. It's going to be very hard to be flexible and be nimble and to start even tracking data, because you're probably like, well, I don't even know if I have Google Analytics set up, or I don't even know what data I should be tracking. It's very hard to add on things and to grow to your next level if you don't have what the foundation set up with your business and with yourself.
Yeah.
So thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I loved our conversation and I just love learning about attachment style and business in general. So where can people find you, and where can people find this quiz that we have been talking about for the past, you know, 40 minutes? Yeah.
We will leave the link to the quiz in the show notes, so you guys can just click below. But I think it's a really fun quiz. We had such great feedback when we tested it. And then come hang out with me on Instagram. I'm on there pretty much every day, Monday through Friday, and always bringing the sass, always saying it like it is.
Definitely.
And yeah, and then I have a program that's launching, and then we'll be like ongoing doors open. So even if you're catching this podcast in way future, it's called Authority. So it's really for helping people that are experts, that know that they're experts, and it seems only their clients that are they're working with are also like, you're amazing and you're an expert and no one else knows. And it's time to grow. It's time to get out of your local market. It's time to work with more people. It's time to position yourself as an authority so you're sought after and you are paid. And I know Sam took the beta version of that. So I'm so excited to be rolling that out now officially.
Yeah, I'm so excited for you to roll that out too. I loved being a part of the beta version, and I feel like it truly is everything that you need to really step into that authority leadership figure in your industry, and also just really build you the solid business foundations that you need, the marketing foundations that you need to create that consistent client flow that you want, to create consistent content, and yeah, to be able to step into your leadership and share your ideas and opinions and bring the sass as Jackie does on her own Instagram. So thank you again, Jackie. Everyone, all the links will be in the show notes. Definitely go take the quiz and pop over to Instagram and say hi. And thank you for tuning in to this episode. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Beyond the Systems podcast. I hope that this episode has given you insight into the impact systems can have on your business so you can scale to the next level. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate and review the show and share it with others. Your review will help us spread the word about the power of systems. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next episode.